From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. My name's Isaac Constance, filling in for Al Martin today. And we've got a packed show for you guys. Not necessarily the most joyous affair, and it certainly won on Saturday, as MSU gave up 54 points to Northwestern, the highest in Mark D'Antonio's coaching tenure here in East Lansing. Also, we've got all the latest on college football in general, including the newest AP poll shows where Michigan is perceived by the common voter up to number 3 now, jumping and leapfrogging Clemson. Then the Detroit Lions continuing the winning streak, if you can call it that much, to comeback win over the Rams, I should say. And Colin Kaepernick also saying his protests are patriotic. Then you've got the Pistons and Red Wings tonight. We'll have so much more as well. The MLB playoffs in the full heat of things. The Cleveland Indians up 2-0 on the Toronto Blue Jays. Could there possibly be two Cleveland teams to win a championship in the same year? I don't think so, but we'll talk about that as well. And finally, the Detroit Red Wings starting off the season 0-2, and really the least best start that you could have ever imagined. Also, we'll get to weekend winners to end the hour today. But hey, if you've got any thoughts or contributions that you want to make to the hour, call in 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. You know how we always start Current Sports, though. It's with your Current Sports quick hit headliners for today, October 17th. Yet again, Spartan fans left Spartan Stadium, yeah, disappointed. Scoring 40 points against Northwestern wasn't enough to get the Spartans a win on Saturday as they fell to the Wildcats 54-40. Redshirt freshman Brian Lewerke started the game and looked promising in the first quarter, throwing his first career touchdowns and helping the Spartans to score 14 points in that quarter, of course, also with the help of a defensive touchdown there. But after a third touchdown by Northwestern in the third quarter, O'Connor was brought in, threw three touchdown passes, and almost managed to lead the team to a comeback, but not quite. The Spartans head to Maryland this next weekend to take on the Terrapins and hopefully get their third win of the season, and more importantly, prevent the first five-game losing streak for this team since the 90s. MSU men's soccer also not the best of weekends for them. Number 19-ranked MSU had their five-game winning streak come to an end on Saturday night against Penn State. The 0-0 tie was broken in double overtime when Penn State player Robbie Sagel was able to put one past the Spartans goalkeeper, Jimmy Haig. MSU is now 9-3-1 overall and 3-2-1 in the Big Ten. Still good for a playoff spot within that conference. MSU's next game is at home against Yale on Wednesday at 3 p.m. I will be in attendance for that one. The latest AP poll with a couple of surprises when it comes down to it. Michigan, in a bye week, actually did pretty well for themselves, moving up to number 3 in the latest poll, while on bye as a result of Clemson needing overtime to knock off division rival NC State. Western Michigan, how about the Broncos and PJ Fleck rowing the boat against Akron 41-0 and moving up to number 20 in the polls as they are now 7-0 on the season. Then the Detroit Lions finally extending their winning streak to 2 on the year. The Lions have won 2 straight in similar fashion as well, taking down the Rams 31-28 and requiring a late interception to manage to pull that one out. In what felt like a carbon copy of last week, Matt Prater gave the Lions the lead with less than 2 minutes to go before the game was secured by an interception, this time from Raphael Bush. Stafford was strong on the day, passing for 270 yards and 4 touchdowns with 0 interceptions. Golden Tate, finally, right? Finally, fantasy football fans will breathe a sigh of relief as he had his best showing of the season with 165 yards on 8 catches. Tate, who has struggled in the season, had just 134 yards through the first five games. But like I mentioned, 165, that'll do him justice. The Lions will look to make it three straight wins when they take on Washington at home next week. Colin Kaepernick, somebody who's been in the news recently for actually all the right things as he started his first game, had even more to say about his protesting of the national anthem than his loss against the Bills on Sunday. Kaepernick, who has been protesting the anthem for the entire season and preseason to defend civil liberties of black and brown Americans, said at the 49ers post-game presser after their loss on Sunday, quote, "I don't understand what's more American than fighting for liberty and justice for everybody, for the equality this country says it stands for. To me, I see it as very patriotic and American to uphold the United States to the standards it lives by. That's something that needs to be addressed," end quote. The Pistons and the Red Wings, both with important matches tonight, maybe not so much for the Pistons as it's preseason, but the Red Wings will look to take the home ice for the first time this season and are hoping to get into the win column for their very first dub of the year. After an 0-2 start in the state of Florida, the Wings will play their first Canadian opponent tonight when the puck drops at 7:30 against Ottawa. The Pistons will also take the court at 7:30 tonight when they host the Bucks in their penultimate preseason game. The MLB playoffs, Toronto will look to pick up their first win of the ALCS when they take on Cleveland at home. The Indians can put the Blue Jays on the brink of elimination, going 3-0 after taking the first two games of this series 2-0 and 2-1 respectively. The NLCS saw the Dodgers tie the series at one game apiece following a dazzling performance from ace Clayton Kershaw. The Dodgers took game two last night with a score of 1-0, with the lone run coming off a second inning solo shot from Adrian Gonzalez. Game three will take place on Tuesday night in Los Angeles. That wraps it up with your current sports quick hit headliner topics for today. Hey, if you've got any questions, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527, and share what's on your mind. You can also tweet me at Isaac Constance, ISAACCONSTANS, and also tweet our Facebook page or our Twitter account, and hey, be a part of the show. Help dictate what we do. Decide to talk about for the hour. So, hey, folks, it should be a fun one. And without any further ado, let's get to it.
Not one, not two, not three, but four consecutive defeats for the Michigan State Spartans. And while MSU had lost their previous three games by a combined 44 points, fans might be wondering, what's another 14? What the other 14 is Mark D'Antonio's worst start to a regular season with MSU following a colossal collapse versus the Northwestern Wildcats.
We got to get on top of them, play coverage, but it's, you know, it gets difficult out there. So not pushing fingers at anybody. I'm just saying that we got to execute better. The reoccurring theme is, to me, is let them back in the game. We've sort of got things squared away. You know, we're moving forward pretty good. You know, we're in the game. I mean, every one of these games, we're in the game. But we got to turn the corner and finish. And that's the bottom line.
Because I'm used to seeing in the previous 9 years that you mentioned, when the first person gets there, even if he's just hanging on, the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth guys are there like bam, 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 bam. And I'm not seeing that right now.
This thing is just, you got to make plays in order to win. And some things are falling the other way for us right now. So hopefully, you know, that can turn around and we can get a win for Spartan Nation.
When's the last time our defense gave up 54 points? I mean, I'm pretty sure it probably never happened since I've been here. And I'm sure, you know, I mean, the defense thinks it's tough when our offense puts up 7 or 14 points. So when one part of the team is lacking, someone's got to pick it up. And obviously, you know, defense was put in some tough situations as far as field position, their kickoff return for a touchdown as well. So, you know, it's not all the defense, not all the offense, never has been. It's accumulation of everything.
Put, I mean, it's very disappointing. We're not meeting expectations right now. You know, some young guys out there, you know, I could have played better on the last touchdown. So it's really just little technique things that, you know, we just had to be better at. We knew what was coming, and we just didn't capitalize on it. So
it's important. You know, we needed to make critical third downs, and we did it with me dropping that ball, you know, midway in the field. But, you know, we don't point the fingers. You know, we go in as one, we come out as one. We win as one, we lose as one. So it's a team effort. And again, you know, we get to play again, you know, against Maryland coming up next week. So we just need to get back to the drawing board like we did before and just keep working.
When you look at film, I mean, you're going to see a guy miss a tackle, and you're going to say, if we make the tackle right there, we're off the field. You're going to see that. You're going to see the ball come in on a wide receiver, and you're going to say, hey, if he gets one hand in there, you know, it's an incomplete pass. And but that's what we deal with. That's what we're dealing with on too much of a consistent nature.
Malik McDowell's full return after a half-game suspension. Riley Bull back healthy, and a quarterback carousel for the Spartans. Next up, the team travels to Maryland to try to improve after the most points ever given up in the Mark D'Antonio era. To be honest, though, doesn't seem like the Spartans can even win a game at a Turtles pace currently. From Spartan Stadium, I'm Isaac Constance, WKAR. The rain can fall from the house. Can you stop us? That old sun from shining. One makes the world go round. And sometime I feel say, yeah. Welcome to a morose Monday matinee of a current sports, if you would. Yeah, it was actually a pretty good weekend for me and Al as well. Al, of course, is over in Green Bay because he enjoyed seeing his Cowboys play the Packers. I think it's actually the first Cowboys game he's ever been in attendance for, and I know he enjoyed it. Friday night was actually a fun one for both Al and I, as well as we were able to help MC the homecoming parade for MSU. And of course, homecoming supposed to be a game that you usually win pretty easily. That didn't happen, but we'll get to that later. Al, after that, was actually hosting Midnight Madness for the Spartans as well. Maybe the sport that Spartan fans will start looking forward to in terms of both men's and women's basketball, which both really are looking pretty bright and perky for the upcoming season. But football, not looking so great, except on the pro level. How about the Cowboys starting 5-1? For Al, pretty impressive. And I was saying before the show started, no team has more potential offensively right now than Dallas Cowboys. Dak Prescott breaking records for most passes thrown to start a career without an interception. Ezekiel Elliott, the number two ranked running back in terms of production, if you're considering fantasy statistics, which of course is what you should always be considering. And then the Cowboys, of course, have a great offensive line. They're doing it with a bunch of receivers, even when that staff is a little bit more depleted than usual, with Dez Bryant not being 100% and actually having to sit against the Packers. So it's really been a fantastic year for the Cowboys. And my New Orleans Saints also scrapping up a win against the Carolina Panthers in a late-game fashion. Game-winning field goal as the clock ticked down to zero. And then the Detroit Lions, we'll get to them later on in the show, but two straight wins for the Lions, and the Matthew Stafford haters have more or less gone back into the wallpaper. Yeah, they don't exist anymore, as Matthew Stafford has put together really a great season. Some questions on that offensive line to start the year, not really anymore. Amir Abdullah, no healthier, but you know what? Doesn't matter for the Lions. And again, a late game interception in order to manage to pull this whole thing together for Detroit. They now stand at 3-3 on the year, 2-1 at home. And coming up next week, I favor their chances to actually assume a winning record on the year as Washington comes to town. So we'll talk about all that in just a little bit. But of course, you heard the sad music. That was some Al Green. I've got to shout out my fellow co-worker here, Kevin Lavery, for bringing that suggestion to me.
How Do You Mend a Broken Heart is the name of that song. And that's the question for a lot of Spartan faithful out there. How do you mend a broken heart? How do you mend an 0-4 start after a 2-0 beginning to the series, or the season, I should say, that really looks, again, promising for this team? A win against Notre Dame that was one of the trademarks of a Mark D'Antonio team that has traditionally been able to go on the road and get big wins, grind them out. That's what they did when they went to South Bend. They came back home, were demolished and devastated by Wisconsin. Then you saw them go over to Indiana, have seemingly an insurmountable lead that was vanquished by the Hoosiers as they took the overtime dub in that affair. And then the Spartans, yada, yada, yada. Now you stand at 2-4 following BYU, a blowout, and Northwestern. You could also actually qualify that one probably as a blowout too. And I told you to bet against the spread at least when it came to this one. Northwestern was pretty good on that factor throughout the season. But at the same time, who would have expected this? The thing is, Northwestern, it's not as if they've got some stellar offense. They like playing fast paced. You saw a lot of up-tempo, no-huddle type plays there. And Clayton Thorson, what can you say about him? I thought this game was going to be a blowout in favor of MSU, rebounding from a tough season to start it off. And, you know, when Justin Lane, a receiver by trade, who turned into a cornerback, turned what would have been a nice little gain for the Wildcats into a touchdown, running back the other way for the Spartans, and made MSU the 14-0 benefactor in the first quarter of that game. You thought, yep, well, let's close the binder. Let's wrap it up. Let's let Lewerke take over the reins for the rest of the season. As Jack Ebling, a local radio host in the area, remarked to me, Lewerke was so good in that first quarter. He looked like Tyler O'Connor in the first drive against BYU. I thought that was a comical comment. And it proved to be true later in the game as well. As I've got to say, let's stop blaming the offense. And the thing is, and we're all at fault for this, we were all saying, who's the quarterback for MSU? Is it going to be Tyler O'Connor? Damian Terry? Nobody really thought Brian Lewerke, and look who got the start. But who's going to be the quarterback? Who's going to step up when it comes to the wide receiver position? What about the offensive line? This is a team that put up 40 points against a respectable Northwestern defense. Really? And the thing is, everybody was focused on the offense because it's easier. It's always easy to focus on a quarterback when, you know, the defense, you got 11 players out there. They're not touching the ball all that much. So it's always hard to pinpoint where needs the help and, you know, who's been good as well. It just wasn't that hard on Saturday to see where help was needed for MSU. It was not a bad offensive showing, but the defense ultimately capitulated. I was looking at the stats, and sometimes just browsing through stats, you can see pretty much the song of the game. And for the song, it was very much an elegy for this team, a funeral-type procession when it comes to what this season has turned into for MSU. Because guess who owns the most tackles of anybody on the Spartans so far? Yeah, it's Monte Nicholson, the safety. It's not even close. He had 17 tackles against BYU. He had 11 first-half tackles against Northwestern. And yet, that's not a good sign. You know, he's been fantastic in the tackling game. But when you have a safety who is so involved in the play, that's probably a bad omen for your team that, hey, there's a lot of pores on that defensive line. There's a lot of pores in that linebacking core. And that's the thing. Chris Fry on the season has 47 tackles in comparison to Monte Nicholson's 54. Demetrius Cox, who you heard from in that little montage that I threw together, along with Tyler O'Connor, Riley Boa, defensive coordinator Jim Tressel, who had one of my favorite quotes of the season with a bam, 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 bam. rapid-fire fusillade of little claps and onomatopoeias right there. But also, Vontae Copeland with 33. Three defensive backs right now are in the top five for tackles. And the reason is that MSU just can't have the first would-be tackler hold on. There's so much elusiveness, it seems like, whenever a team plays the Spartans. And this is nothing exceptional. This isn't a compliment to the teams that they've been playing. Notre Dame is terrible. Honestly, it's that simple. Notre Dame's no good. Indiana, again, nothing special. Northwestern, 2-3 heading into that game. But the thing is, the MSU defensive line lacks any sort of stamina just because they've been so depleted and injury-ridden throughout the season. Then you come back and you find out that, of course, half the team left over the offseason and there's no real backup plan for this team. The linebacking core also suffered with its fair share of injuries throughout this year. But the thing is, Riley Bull returns from injury, and he played well yesterday. But this has just been a chronic ailment for this team in that the first two lines of defensive coverage really aren't that much of a defense whatsoever. The offense has been able to tread up and down the field almost at free will. And for Northwestern, you do have to give them their props. Justin Lane, boy, he was electrifying for Northwestern. And then you also have Clayton Thorson, all credit to him. And Justin Jackson, a career-high 188 yards on the ground. Flynn Nagel, also a receiver who broke free a couple of times for the Wildcats. And the Wildcats themselves, they impressed me. Pat Fitzgerald, he's really thrown together a good program. And like I said, I don't want to focus too much on the quarterback situation for MSU just because we've been given so much airtime to that. And really, it's a tired subject considering that quarterback play, it wasn't a problem when Damian Terry went in necessarily. It wasn't a problem when Tyler O'Connor was in to start the year. And it certainly wasn't a problem yesterday for the Spartans. At halftime, Brian Lewerke was 8 of 14. He was 3 of 5 in the second half before he again pulled in favor of Tyler O'Connor. Tyler O'Connor threw for 3 touchdowns and an interception. You'll take that stat line. MSU's quarterbacks on the season, riddle me this, okay? They've got a 61.1 completion percentage. That's more than respectable. That's commendable. That's a good completion percentage for college. And just in case you guys don't believe me on that, because you can say anything looks good, Lamar Jackson, the front runner, who has about as much separation from the field as Alabama does on all these other contenders, his completion percentage is 58%. MSU's quarterbacks, all of them, have a higher rate than that. So the thing is, the Spartans offense, it's not the problem. It's the defense that's the problem. And you heard that in the montage at the start of the show. It's all of these tacklers that seemingly just bounce off the running back or the receiver or whoever they're trying to get. It's the coverage that seems to sink into the middle of the field only to get burnt deep, whether that be Flynn Nagel or Austin Carr, whoever it may be. Whoever it was for the Wildcats was always getting open. And the thing is, MSU had no solution. So without further ado, that's my breakdown. And the thing is, I've been saying that for the whole season, pretty much. This team, it's things like tackling, it's things like pass deflections, and are those teachable attributes? Not over the offseason. Of course, you can work on this when you got practice twice a day, all day long for this team. But you don't right now. You have very infrequent times where you can actually work on technique. And that seems to be the problem and the key word. That's what everybody was saying in the post-game presser. So, Spartan fans, it's going to be a long season. Call in 517-355-9527. It's already been a long season. But the thing is, it's tough to analyze when a team chronically underperforms because at some level, you have to stop calling it a below-expectations sort of performance. This team might just not have the talent to do better than 6-6. 6-6 might be the goal for MSU in the regular season, and hopefully they get an easy matchup in the bowl game. If they make one. Like I said, that might be a little bit optimistic. So anyway, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527 if you got any thoughts on the subject. But right now I want to bring in some of our great production assistants who have been helping out throughout the year so far, and they're in the studio right now, Ashley Gibbard and Kamen Kessler. Guys, you were both at the game, I think. What did you see, starting with Ashley?
I think you covered most of it. The pass rush was terrible. I think that the receivers weren't covered. Like you said, everybody goes on and on about the quarterbacks. It's not the quarterbacks. It's 100% the defense. And I think that 6-6 is the goal. And even right now, that looks a little questionable.
Yeah, without a doubt. Kamen?
I'll touch on the offensive side of the ball. As we saw, the quarterbacks aren't really the issue. I think the big thing we saw was when you open up the playbook and you play from behind, you saw the potential that the Spartan offense really has. And I don't think the balance was really there in 42 passes, but you saw they could put up 40 points. They can, the big plays to Shelton, they can make big plays if they take shots. I thought he helped out the quarterbacks, Warner, I'm talking about, on the offense. I thought he helped out the quarterbacks a lot by giving them four receiver routes. In previous games, about 50% of the routes we were running had two receivers and a running back or a tight end coming out. Hmm. And that's just not enough. If you have a safety on either side of the ball, that's help on both receivers going down the field. That's a lot of dump offs. That could be attributed to your completion percentage there. But with the offensive playbook opened up, I thought that showed the potential there. And then obviously on the defensive side of the ball, there's not enough production coming out of that defensive line other than Malik McDowell. Against BYU, I believe the number was about 45 tackles at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
Four of those were from defensive linemen, and that's not enough.
Yeah, like I said, with these MSU teams, they really are problems that you can pinpoint a lot of the times just by looking at the stats, just like you did right there, Kamen, with the BYU game. The other thing I want to focus on is not only did MSU's defense not always do their job, like I said, this is a team that throughout the year has had a shortage of available options. And when you're a defense, especially playing against a no-huddle offense like Northwestern, a team that likes to get up and down the field, you're going to need a little bit of reprieve, a little bit of rest, and at the most crucial time of the game, when MSU was up 14-0, they couldn't provide that. That was a problem. And this has been another problem with the Spartans. And again, a reason why, hey, maybe everybody's been looking too much at the bullseye, when in reality, it's everything going around it that's the big deal. And that's the quarterback play, because what's going around the quarterback is the offensive line. They're the guys who have to protect the pocket, make sure that he's got a chance to get rid of the ball, to do everything that puts this team in a chance and a position where they can possibly do something productive offensively. Northwestern, in the first half, to come back, scored 12 points in 3.5 minutes. And 12 points, maybe that's not a big deal if it's two touchdowns. It would be a big deal. That's never a stat you want to riddle off. That was three separate drives. That's a problem for MSU, because one of those was Cody Kessler, didn't look good throughout that game. He let his man zoom by for a light-up sack that wound up all over SportsCenter, and it should have, on Brian Lewerke for a safety for Northwestern. Right before that, I believe, was their touchdown drive. Right after that, that was another 3 points for the Wildcats. So when you have all of that, it is tough when a defense keeps on getting sent onto the field with no rest whatsoever against a fast-paced offense. I talked to RJ Sheldon about that, and he said one of the big problems for MSU was not converting third down conversions. On the flip side of that, Northwestern, 10 of 19. And that's just something where you can't let that happen, especially when a reasonable amount were from long range. There were third and tens. There were very manageable stops that this team could have made, and they just didn't convert it. Guys, when it comes down to it, my question always after that game was, is there a way to stop this trend for MSU? Is there a way to turn the season around? Is there any coaching change? Is there anything where you can look on a tape and say, see, there's it? But I don't think there is. Is there a way for this team to suddenly rectify this season? whoever wants to take it.
I think there is. If you look at the offense, you saw the potential there. You look at the defense, they brought in some young players. Obviously, that led to a few touchdowns for Northwestern. You saw the blown coverage when the two freshman corners got confused on who was in zone, who was covering the man, stuff like that. But the schedule outside of Ohio State and Michigan are winnable games for this Michigan State team.
They are.
And while they haven't looked the part, they are a talented roster. There's a reason that this team has been ranked in the top 10 the last few years. Mark D'Antonio is a good coach. And I think if they stay true to themselves, they maybe open up the offense a little bit more, but stay true to themselves on defense and get back to that hard-hitting, hard-nosed football and can get off the field on third downs, because that's a broken record every week. That's been the question. Why can't this team get off the field on third downs? I think they can definitely get to that 6-6 goal. All those other games, like I said, are winnable. And, you know, rivalry games are weird. Maybe they can sneak out a win against Ohio State or Michigan. It's doubtful, but there's a chance.
Yeah, no money on that one, but I agree with you. There's always a level of increased play-in fervor whenever two teams that hate each other meet on the football field. Now, I will give props to MSU for one thing. And it's got nothing to do with this season. Don't worry, because really, no props due, no props earned. But the thing is, Northwestern and BYU and Wisconsin, after all of those games, they ran over to the visiting sections and they sung the school anthems with such pride. And it was such a big win for those programs. I heard Urban Meyer say that Wisconsin's a good team. They beat LSU. They beat MSU. They played Michigan pretty close. And how about that game? Wisconsin versus Ohio State. That was thrilling. But the thing is, MSU has become a main contender and one of those teams that's feared throughout the nation. They've done their work to get to this point. And I don't believe in a program drop-off. Let's all hang on if we're talking about anything like that. I haven't heard that talk. I haven't heard anybody say Mark D'Antonio needs to go, because, of course, that would be utterly ridiculous. Now, I have heard of a few people saying Dave Warner needs to go or whatever. And that's also ridiculous, because the thing is, this coaching staff has assembled a franchise, a dynasty here in East Lansing, and something that didn't exist before that. I mentioned the last 5-game losing streak that MSU had, that was the 90s. The last 4-game losing streak this team had was with John L. Smith in 2006. Mark D'Antonio has only given up more than 54 points. Actually, I believe even more than 50 points one time else in his career as a head coach. That was in 2004. He wasn't even coaching here yet. He was the coach of Cincinnati. That was to a much more talented Louisville team. The thing is, this is one season. And as sad of a year as it is, it's not a microcosm for the larger stage at place for this Spartan team. There's a lot more to grow on when it comes to this year. But at the same time, you do sacrifice this one up and say, hey, the season's a lost cause. Of course it is. The program's not, and far from it. Anyway, people, that's all we got. If you want to talk about MSU football or anything about that subject, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And actually, before we hit our first break, we've got someone who might not want to talk MSU, but you know he wants to get on and talk some college football. That's Ray from Indiana. Ray, how are you doing today?
You could save your season by beating the bullies.
A lot of people up here would feel that way. A 5-7 year with a win against Michigan, I think even now would be taken as a success.
I want to know why you're letting teams run all over you. That Northwestern team ran all over you. If you got that many defensive players out, are they going to be back in a week or two when you have to play the bullies?
Well, part of it's the injuries. John Reske, one of the best linebackers in this core, is still hurt. Ed Davis, far, far, far from 100%, who was formerly an all-Big Ten caliber player. But Riley Bowe was back. This defensive line, there's really just a shortage of talent there. And you mentioned it, right? Justin Jackson lining up a career 188 yards on the ground against MSU. The thing is, there's not too many more options for this team. They've already had to take the redshirt off a few freshmen. Mike Panasiuk seeing really some significant time on the defensive line. So the thing is, I'm not sure how much room for optimism there is when it comes to stopping the run.
What happened to your top defensive tackle there on the line? Where's he at?
Malik McDowell's back. The thing is, right, with so few other options, really, most of the people in the nation last year would have been able to name possibly three or four Michigan State defensive linemen. Most Barn fans this year can name one. Malik McDowell gets double-teamed on nearly every single play, and he had a good game against Northwestern, actually, even though they put up 54 points. He was a star on that defensive side, the only one. The thing is, it's hard to contribute when you're a one-man wrecking band, pretty much, and that's been the case this year.
Well, I'm going to tell you, my friend, the Bullies run for 400 yards a game. If you're going to do anything against them, you've got to stop the run in a week and a half.
Ray, the only thing I could see happening in that game that would tend to go MSU's way is that it's a rivalry game in Sparrans Stadium. The atmosphere will be electric. This is the one possible saving grace, the one thing that could salvage a little bit of dignity from a lot of new fair weather MSU fans. I'm not even kidding. That's the case. That's all the momentum that rides on this MSU-Michigan rivalry.
Maybe you need a rainstorm, and three or four turnovers would help too.
Well, I don't think a rainstorm would help MSU too much. Boys will still, as you call them, the boys, will still be able to run all over people, and especially this MSU defensive line and linebacking core.
Well, you know, I don't know how many years. I think 40 out of 42, the team that rushes the most in that game wins. So you've got to somehow tighten up your defense so you can't stop the run and make – force this guy to throw the ball.
I believe it. Ray, how about Michigan, too, jumping in number three in the polls despite a bye week? You think they earned it?
The Bullies ain't there at the end of the year. Let's hope the Buckeyes take care of them like they should.
You think they will?
Well, it's going to be tight. I mean, you just seen how Wisconsin took Ohio State into overtime. I think with Ohio State having the game at home, they should be a favorite by 3 to 4 points, but not no more than that.
That's a fair spread, yeah.
I see it being a real, real, real close game.
Yeah.
Go either way.
Oh, it'll be a close game, without a doubt.
I think the only difference that Ohio State's got over Michigan this year is they've got a lot of talent, and so does Michigan, but they don't have Barrett, and that's I think that should be the difference in the game.
Good prediction, Ray. Thanks for the call.
He can run and throw the ball with the other guy. All he can do is throw.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Ray. Good analysis. All right, yeah, that wraps it up actually for the first segment here on WKR. Coming out of the break, we're going to talk some MLB playoffs. Also, of course, hit on the Detroit Red Wings, the Detroit Lions. All the Detroit sports actually having a pretty good go at things recently. Well, Detroit Red Wings, not so much maybe. But anyway, you are listening to WKR's Current Sports. I'm Isaac Constance filling in for Al Martin. We'll see you after the break.
Draw back in fear. I am the most you wear. It's me they hear.
Yeah, folks, there you hear the voice of Al Martin, the host of WKR's Current Sports. He's over in Green Bay right now after seeing the Dallas Cowboys and Green Bay Packers matchup in which the Cowboys prevailed, going 5-1 to start the year. But the reason we're playing that, not the best singing there from Al, but at the same time, we're playing that because the thing is, we haven't met our goal just yet for WKR's Giving Drive. You see, the thing is, we can't make it out to the games, we can't put out this coverage for sports, we can't put together other great local programs like Current State to start off your morning each and every weekday without funding help from you guys. That's right. We're a publicly funded channel, which means that without donations from everyday listeners, people who might just tune in once in a while, to everybody who tunes in every single day to hear our programming, we couldn't make any of this possible. And right now, it's WKR's annual fall giving drive. So if you feel like WKR is worth a lot to you, and we really believe that for so many people, WKAR is their go-to source for not only news, but also entertainment, sports, classical music, with some of our great hosts like Jamie Paisley and Jody as well. So the thing is, WKAR, for a lot of people, it's what they depend on every single day. So if you feel like it's worth making a donation, call in and try to, you know, give what you can. We don't care how much it is, but the fact is, we'd love to see more and more people continuing to contribute to the call so that we can only continue our programming here, but also expand it even further. But you just heard us anyway wrap up a conversation about about the Detroit or the Michigan State Spartans. And coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit of Detroit Lions action, actually. And the Detroit Lions, now with a 2-game winning streak, really impressive show and no turnovers, another game-winning interception in order for the Lions to pull it off. This time it was Raphael Bush. And Jim Caldwell, maybe turn it around a little bit. Maybe some of the calls for his head to be on a stake are quieting down. And Matthew Stafford, all of those haters of Matthew Stafford have really evaporated this season. There's no other way I can put it. Matthew Stafford, 23 of 31, 270 yards and 4 TDs against the Los Angeles Rams in a 31-28 victory. Nothing really that the Lions could have done much better offensively. Zach Zenner filling in at running back and had one of his most impressive showings of the year. Only 14 carries, 58 yards, but an important release for this offense when they needed it. Actually, exact same stat line as Todd Gurley. And not that Todd Gurley's been great this season, at the same time, you definitely take that, especially if you're a fantasy football player. Case Keenum on the other end for the Los Angeles Rams, 27 of 32, 321 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a pick. But the thing is, the pick came in the most crucial of moments, right when the Rams look set to either go down and tie the game up in the fourth quarter, or even possibly punch in a late touchdown to seal the victory that would take them to 4-2. Instead, they're 3-3, same record as the Detroit Lions. But the star player of that game, and the main takeaway that everybody had, was Golden Tate. 8 receptions, 165 yards, 1 touchdown, 10 targets for him, a huge reception as well, a 61-yard run after catch a little bit, but also just a pass on a rope by Matthew Stafford. And Golden Tate throughout that game was consistent, reliable, and what I expected him to be before the season started. 165 yards, actually more than he had in all of the 5 games leading up to this challenge. And he really looked good out there for the Detroit Lions. And also on the defensive end, you had, like I mentioned, a few big plays throughout the game. Not that there was a lot of resistance to the pass game, which, of course, you'd like to see. But in the most crucial moments, that's where you define the outcome of your season. And Raphael Bush with a huge win. Next up for the Lions, Kirk Cousins and company coming in from Washington. And that'll be a really interesting battle between these two sides. Wouldn't surprise me to see the Lions actually make it 3 in a row. Knock on wood for all those who are superstitious. But the Washington Redskins, that's a very winnable game. And I think Lions fans, actually, maybe they do have something to look forward for this season. They haven't gotten into the real grit and grind of the schedule just yet, where they play Minnesota twice in 4 weeks. Also, New Orleans, watch out. No, I'm just kidding. We're not that good. But Dallas also later on in the year, followed by a home visit from Green Bay, Cincinnati. Actually, that's a preseason game, but the Detroit Lions have a bunch of different matchups that they have yet to face. Overall, though, this is a team that's really progressed. Everybody before the year was talking about, wow, this team defensively has so many holes, I'm not sure how much they can do. And all of those worries hang true. But the thing is, the NFL is an offensive league still. If you've got the talent at the quarterback position, and your running back's good enough, because really, that's all you need right now, you can make it work. And Matthew Stafford, like I mentioned before, has really had a marvelous season for this team. He's done all he needs to. In the month of October, 7 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, a completion percentage of over 70, 663 yards. The man's done everything you could have asked for, whether they're pounding on a lot of attempts or limited ones, like they did against Philadelphia relatively with 25 attempts only. Matthew Stafford, he's been important for this team, and he hasn't thrown those picks that will absolutely kill you. He hasn't shown any indiscretion in which you were worried about. The other thing for this team to keep in mind, Ziggy Ansah back on the field, possibly the Lions' best defensive player. So it's very important to keep in mind that this team, going forward, not just with momentum, but also with health, with the play of Matthew Stafford, could be a bright season ahead for this team. Head over to the ice side of things. It's a lot colder on the rink. And that's with the Detroit Red Wings. And anybody who knows me knows that I'm not a huge hockey fan, not a hockey head whatsoever. I don't pretend to be. But the Detroit Red Wings, anybody can see, it's painfully obvious that this team has a lot of shaping up to do. They want to cut the win streak or the playoff streak to 26 consecutive seasons. The thing is, I'm not sure if they do want to. This is a team that probably should accept that it's time for a rebuild. 25, quarter of a century. It's a heck of a place to draw the line. But the Detroit Red Wings, against the power play, they can't stop it. With the power play, they can't do anything about it. Coming into the game tonight, there's all sorts of questions about who's on the line. The new signings for this roster haven't seemed to fit in whatsoever. It's been kind of an amalgam of experience with youth that Jeff Blashill, the head coach of this team, is used to. And at the end of the day, all you can say about it is nobody really seems to fit in. When there's a power play, everybody else has a strategy. The Red Wings seem to actually fall into their own half more so than any other team I've seen play. When they get into the other half, there's all sorts of mishandled pucks that are thrown from one player to another that ends up being a dink to the back of the net and see what you can do with it. It's pretty much how you'd want to play if you're trying to attack when you're down a man and down a goal. That's really what it's like for this team. There's no offensive cohesiveness. In the first game against Tampa Bay, they were up 2-0. Somehow, both very gritty goals, and they just couldn't hold on because, like I said, you can't hold on to possession. They've been drastically outshot and outmaneuvered both of these games. This does not look like a good team whatsoever. Like I said, playoff streak, yeah, I think we can chalk that up as 25, take it or leave it, and what's most likely going to happen is they'll leave it there, and as they should. Detroit also, though, tonight, maybe a little bit of room for optimism. A lot of people in attendance because the last ever home opener at the Joe. Detroit in home openers at the Joe this far is 21-12-2, winning the past three. 11-4-2 in their past 17 games against Ottawa, the Senators, who will be visiting. But they're 2-0 after beating Toronto in overtime and Montreal in a shootout. Close games. And the Red Wings, like I said, still trying to figure things out, but maybe this is a team with a little bit of potential. You do have the star talent still. You see Zetterberg, you see Gustav Nyquist, you see Thomas Vanek, Andreas Anthonisiou, and Frans Nielsen has not looked that great so far, but player with some talent. The thing with this team, though, more than anything else, is just the back line. They've looked so vulnerable. Seems to be no cohesion between the back two. Danny DeKeyser, Mike Green, Brendan Smith, Alexei Marchenko, and then Jonathan Erickson, who's been getting a lot of flack off of fans. I actually think he's been one of the few redeemed players for this team, and that he's just shown a little bit of fight, quite literally. He's gotten into a couple. Xavier Ouellette, and, you know, this is a team that's just going to try to find its identity. Like I said, I'm not sure if it should. I'm not sure when the time is to throw the bone to the dog and say it's a 25-game or 25-season playoff streak. Nothing is better in sports history. Let's leave it at that. let's let the dead rest, pretty much. And I think for the Detroit Red Wings, it's exactly time to do that. Anyway, that is pretty much all I've got for the Red Wings. Coming out of the second break, however, we're going to talk about a lot more. We're going to talk about what's going on around the sports world within the MLB. That being the Chicago Cubs and the LA Dodgers having a really intriguing series. Clayton Kershaw, boy, how good was he just a couple of nights ago? We'll talk about that and so much more. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527 if you have any contributions. You're listening to WKR's Current Sports. Hey, folks, you're listening to WKR's Current Sports. I'm your host for today. Only 8 minutes left in the show. Isaac Constance here, filling in for Al Martin, who's out of town. And here at WKR, it is the time to give. It's our fall giving drive, if you will. And we need as many donations as possible from everybody involved. For your minimum contribution of just $10 a month, we'll send you the WKR membership card. You and a friend can enjoy 2-for-1 dining at restaurants in Lansing, Jackson, Flint, Ann Arbor, and many other areas. Your member card is also good for discounts with many other organizations, including the Ann Arbor Symphony Orchestra. That's right. Great deals all around. It benefits the benefits from it extend across the United States and into Canada. You can find a complete list of participating restaurants and merchants available at membercard.com or get the member card app for your phone. For about 33 cents a day, you can receive the member card. And here's the best thing about it. Support the radio station that hopefully gives you so much at the same time. WKAR, we have all sorts of exclusive and really innovative programs such as Current Sports, Current State, that you can't find anywhere else. We're commercial free. It's public radio. Your donation means everything to us. And it doesn't matter how much you give. It matters that you give. If you feel like it's a valuable enough part of your day, which I know so many people out there do, call 517-353-5000 or give now online at WKR.org. That's right. It's our fall give and drive. So any donations, you know how much we appreciate it. But going on, the MLB playoffs this year have been thrilling. Still time for a quick call about them if you feel like you want to donate anything to the conversation. That's 517-355-9527. But the thing is, these playoffs, usually I'm not into baseball for about probably, 148 games of the year. I'd say I'm into the first, what's the math there? Into the first seven, into the last seven. Once the playoffs really get going, or once you're excited, once the new swing of baseball has you all excited. But I'll tell you what, all four of these teams remaining, I really can't believe. I expected Toronto to go down in that series to the Rangers. I expected that actually to be more or less a blowout in favor of Texas, too. I expected the Red Sox also to prevail over Cleveland. Cleveland, of course, swept them, just like Toronto swept the Rangers. Then on the NL side, maybe a little bit more predictable with the Cubs and Dodgers, but at the same time, Clayton Kershaw, boy, oh boy, was he phenomenal. A shutout performance from him coming off a game where he pitched the closing innings to help the Dodgers even make this series. Kershaw, unbelievable throughout the year. Of course, the best pitcher probably in all of Major League Baseball, but against a Cubs team with so much firepower. And still a lot of places where there could be some clicking that falls into place. Of course, Jason Hayward throughout the season not really has the bat working. Also, Anthony Rizzo, the first baseman, I saw a stat, I believe 19 in his last few at-bats in the postseason. That's nothing pretty there. I still think the Cubs managed to pull this one out, but at the same time, it's been a really intriguing season and series. Just in that, again, Cleveland versus the Blue Jays, equally as enthralling as Cleveland. Boy, they didn't win a championship for, what was it, 52 years, 53 years? And now they might win two in the same season. I actually did pick Cleveland to come back and win this series. I thought it would be much closer than what it currently stands at. But Jose Bautista, hitless in the past 14 at-bats. And boy, oh boy, you just know that Toronto hopes that they can pull this one, as only one team in MLB history has recovered from a stumbling 3-0 deficit to start the series. That, of course, being the Boston Red Sox, helping them snap their championship drought. Wouldn't it be something if Cleveland can snap theirs in the MLB? What they'll be hoping, though, is that in Game 4, Corey Kluber takes the mound. And Corey Kluber has been unhittable this postseason. And it'll be short rest, but at the same time, the playoffs always seem to give another gear, even another arm, to pitchers who are struggling with fatigue. A lot of experts are picking Toronto in this one. I'm picking Cleveland. I think that pitching is so good. I think the Blue Jays were a team, yes, they found their stride at the right time. At the same time, this is a team that their entire season has ridden on how much momentum they have. Right now, the momentum's not going their direction. No doubt, the Dome will be bumping this night. But at the same time, the Cleveland Indians, they've played so well recently against the Red Sox. That was even a blowout of a series. I'm picking the Indians tonight. That game's at 8 p.m. Eastern time. You can see it on TBS. But, folks, of course, it is Monday, so we end the show like we like to each and every week, and that's with weekend winners, describing who had the best weekends in all of sports. Here we go.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports.
That's right, you hear the music. It's weekend winners. My first, and I'll certainly second this, Dak Prescott setting the record for most passes attempted by a rookie quarterback without an interception. I think 164, breaking Tom Brady's record. You could name any quarterback of all time whose record you'd want to break and bust. That is Tom Brady. So congrats to Dak Prescott and the 5-1 Dallas Cowboys. Like I mentioned, two rookies that may be the two most important offensive positions. Also, Clayton Kershaw pitching that all-important shutout. And folks, I've got to say, Michigan as well. Michigan football and Western Michigan football, both with strong showings in the polls. There's a lot more to go in this season, but at the same time, I trust that both will find themselves saying quite finally once it comes to bowl selection time, a New Year's Six bowl. Not out of the question for Western, and my pick right now, I think Michigan's got a good shot at the college football playoffs. Anyway, folks, that wraps it up for your Monday edition of Current Sports. I'm Isaac Constance, filling in for Al Martin. Thanks so much for your listenership this afternoon. Remember, it is WKR's fall annual giving drive. So, hey, if you can, spare a penny. Thanks so much for listening, folks. We'll be back on there tomorrow.
WKAR East Lansing.